This is the story of the birth certificate of a railroad. Not the story of the Santa Fe as we know it today, but simply the notation on the back of its birth certificate. Its infant smiles and tears, its struggle to survive. Now, in just a moment, we'll tell you about it. But first, here's Gain Whitman.
This year, winter sports have grown increasingly more popular. More popular, too, are all the new models of outdoor sportswear, which carry the tag that reads, Fabrics Treated with DuPont Z-Lan. There's good reason for this wide use of Z-Lan durable water repellent. Outdoor enthusiasts know that garments made of fabric treated with Z-Lan give continuing satisfaction because they afford protection against snow and rain even after many washings or cleaning. Z-Lan, it's one of the DuPont Company's better things for better living through chemistry. And now Ralph Bellamy as Cyrus Holliday and Louise Allbritton as Mary in The Prairie Burner on the DuPont Cavalcade of America.
It's the year 1866, just outside a frontier town in Kansas. The prairie, like a gold and russet carpet, stretches unbroken on each side of the rough wagon trail. The only sound to disturb the peacefulness of the morning is the sound of a stagecoach traveling up from the south. Uh-oh, did I say peaceful? Say, that was a rifle shot. Yes, there's a band of cowboys stopping the coach.
Keep your hand away from your shooting iron, driver. We ain't aiming for trouble with you less than you ask for it.
What's the idea of stopping my coach?
We got a little something to say to one of your passengers.
You, Holliday.
Yes, what concern of you with me, sir?
Just this, Mr. Railroad Builder. We're warning you. Keep your blasted berry burners away from our grazing lands, understand?
No, I'm afraid I don't understand.
You see, mister, we just don't favor railroads in these parts, right, boys?
That's right.
Oh, you don't, eh? No, and we don't favor railroad builders, neither. So we're giving you the wave around, and you'd better pay it some mind.
Now, you listen to me, my friend. I'm leaving for the east. But I'll be back to build a railroad across the desert from Topeka to Santa Fe. And you and all the cattlemen in Kansas won't stop me.
Cyrus Holliday, back home in the east, found that the problems of building a railroad were not confined solely to the west. In the year 1867, we find him seated at the dinner table, glowering down at the plate before him. Mary, his wife, gently suggests,
eat your bluefish, dear.
Bluefish. Yes, that's what they all are, bluefish. They have as much imagination, as much vision as this broiled bluefish.
Why, who, Cyrus?
Guilford and his crowd, that's who. They think a railroad from Topeka, Kansas to Santa Fe is impractical, and they won't give me a cent's worth of backing.
Why, the very idea. Well, we'll use our own money, that's what we'll do.
What? Do you know how much money it takes to build a railroad?
No, but we have about $20,000 in the bank, and
Mary, it takes lots more than $20,000 to build a railroad. Lots more, dear. It takes hundreds of thousands, maybe millions.
Oh, my. Really, Cyrus?
Sure, $20,000 will build no more than maybe 10 or 12 miles of rail, dear.
Well, then let's build a 12-mile railroad.
That'd be throwing money away.
No, it wouldn't. Your charter with the government gives you deed to land on each side of the railroad, doesn't it?
Yes, if I build the railroad, but...
Well, then why not build 12 miles of road and sell the land and take the money and build 12 miles more and then take that money and build...
Whoa, there.
Oh, I suppose you think that's ridiculous, too.
Dear, I can't build a railroad with $20,000.
Well, you can start one with that, can't you?
It just won't work.
I just don't see why not.
Well, because... Well...
Well?
Because...
Why not?
Yes, why not? Why, Jupiter, why not?
That's what I asked you.
By heavens, I'll do it. You hear, Mary? I'll do it.
You mean we'll do it, don't you, dear? Because I'm going with you this time.
What? Now. You mean to Kansas?
Uh-huh, to Kansas.
Oh, no. Oh, no, my pet.
Oh, yes, my darling.
Mary, I will not hear another word about it.
Yes, darling.
And that's final.
Yes, darling. Now, do eat your bluefish, Cyrus. It's really quite good, dear. So this is Topeka. Just one muddy street and two lines of clapboard houses.
I shouldn't have allowed you to come. This is no place
for... a decent, respectable woman. Yes, darling. You'd better inquire about Mayor Wyndham's whereabouts.
Yes, I understand they built a new city hall since I was here last. But none of those buildings look like it. If you please, sir.
Whoa, whoa, Millie. Whoa, up there. House, stranger.
Can you direct us to the city hall?
Sir, that noble edifice across the road, the new city hall.
Oh, saints above, that shack.
Yes, sir, the railroad man Windy's been expecting, ain't you now?
Windy?
Here's on to the mayor. We call him Windy on account he's got heaps of talking talent.
I see. Yes, I'm the railroad man the mayor's been expecting. Thank you kindly, sir, for your assistance.
Careful of the mud, ma'am, when you cross the road 6 inches before you hit bottom, I reckon.
Thank you.
Guess I'd better carry you across to the boards, Mary.
Oh, how nice, dear.
Up you go.
Oh, careful, dear. Don't slip.
Do you think for a moment that I'd let such a precious burden fall in the Kansas mud?
Mr. Railroad Man.
Yes, my friend?
I hear tell you're meaning to build a railroad to Santa Fe.
That's right, sir. Right across the desert to Santa Fe.
I'll be doggone. Across the desert to Santa Fe.
What's so funny about that, my good man?
Oh.
Now, Cyrus, don't get into a fuss with him. At least carry me out of this mud first.
Let him laugh, the confounded...
Mister...
Yes?
Cyrus, please.
No skin off my hide again, but what are you expecting to tote on your railroad, mister? Buffalo bones?
Oh. Buffalo bones? Now, let me tell you something.
Oh,
look at that.
Oh, Cyrus.
Good heavens, what a mess.
Look at
I
us
guess
now.
I
Mr. Halliday, my dear sir, welcome indeed to Topeka.
Mayor Windham.
dear me, I fear you've met with a mishap.
Just a little fall in the mud. Oh, may I present my wife, Mayor, Mrs. Halliday.
How do you do, sir?
May I help you up, madam?
Thank you.
Upon my word, indeed, a double delight awaits the proud citizens of Topeka. Progress and prosperity, beauty and grace. Indeed, my dear madam, indeed.
Oh, thank you, sir.
This way indeed. To the city hall, folks. Sir, you may count me as your most willing servant. Indeed, sir, your most willing servant. Here we are. Enter, please. My chambers. Do sit down, folks. Do sit down.
Thank you, Mayor.
Now, Mr. Halliday, sir, if I can be of any assistance in my official capacity as mayor of Topeka, you have but to speak, sir.
Thank you.
However, in truth, sir, I think it best to warn you. There may be a bit of trouble.
Trouble?
Now, nothing to be concerned about, I assure you, madam. Nothing at all. Just Sam Coulter and some of his boys.
Sam Coulter? Do you know him, Cyrus?
Yes, I met the gentleman on my last trip here.
Sam Coulter, sir, can't abide the sight, smell, sound, or thought of a railroad. In fact, sir, a railroad man to Sam is lower than, excuse me, ma'am, a sheepherder.
Huh? Oh, goodness me.
Yes, sir, seems Sam had a ranch up north of here. A railroad come along, bring in settlers, and beg pardon, ma'am, sheepherders. Drove his herd off in the free grass. Sam, he fought like all get-out, but didn't do him a mite of good. Said he'd rather sell out than have any truck with a railroad. And by George, he did. Yes, sir. Yes, he hates railroads worse than he does a horse thief.
Coulter and all the cattlemen in Kansas aren't going to stop me from running a line to employ her.
Well, there's a man of spirit, madam. Indeed, a man of spirit. Might I inquire, sir? I see you don't carry any firearms.
Firearms?
Well, I'm sure I have a few spare ones around. Yes, here's a good one.
Oh, my, what a pretty pearl handle. May I...
Mary, for the love of heaven, put that thing down.
Oh.
Thank you kindly, Mayor, but I don't think I'll need a gun.
Yes, well, perhaps not, sir, perhaps not.
Oh, Cyrus, do take the gun. It has such a pretty pearl handle.
Mary, please.
Yes, darling.
No, I don't think we'll need guns to build the Santa Fe. At least, I hope not.
Get around now. Yes. Reckon we'll make them for you for long, Mr. Hardy.
Looks like glad to hear that, Jake.
Oh, you know, dear.
Yes, Mary?
I'm glad you decided to be a railroad builder after all.
Really? Why?
Because you might have been a coach road builder and made roads like this and have everyone hate you. Oh! What on earth was that, sir?
Sounded like a pistol shot.
Oh, boy, slow up.
Oh, the coach is stopped. What is it? Hold up.
I don't know, but it doesn't seem possible.
Oh.
Don't wait for your shooting irons, Jake Carter. We're no high riders.
The gang crew, big, what's the idea of sending the lead plumb across my coach? You going hog wild?
No harm, man.
man, Jake. Just aiming to stop the coach.
Oh, it's you, Sam Colter. You gotcha, slab-sided horse.
Oh, Jake, you got no call to get your bristles up.
Colter, Silas, isn't that the
yes,
man?
Yes, Mary, now don't worry, dear.
What do you want, Colter?
One of your passengers. Come out of that coach, Holliday.
If you have anything to say to me, Colter, say it and let us go on our way.
Step down, Holliday.
Now, look here, Sam Colter.
Hold your lip, Jake. This ain't no concern of yours. You coming out, Holliday, or do we have to come get you?
All right. I'll come out.
Oh, no, Cyrus. They might do...
Stay in the coach, dear. Don't worry.
All right, boys. Let's take him and get it going.
Hey, what the... Oh, God. The lady's packing a shooting iron, Colter.
You step an engineer to him and I'll really shoot you.
Mary, put that gun down and please let me handle this alone.
Ma'am, it won't please me none to make smoke with a woman, so I'm asking you politely, drop that gun.
I won't drop this gun. You sheep-herder.
Sheep-herder?
That's laying it on to him, ma'am.
Ma'am, if you wasn't a lady...
If I wish I weren't a lady, then I'd really tell you what I think of you. Of all the stupid, short-sighted... Well, don't you realize what a railroad will do for your Southwest? It'll build an empire. Yes, a whole new empire out of a desert and prairie.
Ma'am, we don't need none of you slick-tongued Easterners to tell us how to run our affairs. These are free open ranges, and we aim to keep them that way.
Have your say, my friend. I'm listening.
Come on, boss. Enough of this chin music. Let's go.
Now, wait a minute, Pete. Holliday, I warned you once. Now, this is the last time. You keep your blasted prairie burners away from our grazing land, or the only rail you ride will be one you set a straddle. Come on, boys.
Yeah. Well, I guess they won't dare bother us again. Not while I've got my pretty pearl-handled shooting iron.
Mary, dear, give me that gun.
Oh, all right, dear.
Where in heaven's name did you... Oh, I see. Mayor Windham.
Yes, darling. I just couldn't resist it. It has such a pretty pearl handle.
Well, I'll keep it myself. If I know Colter, I'm afraid I'm going to need it.
Listening to Ralph Bellamy and Louise Allbritton in The Prairie Burner on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry. The second part of our story opens a month later. Cyrus Holliday is building a railroad from Topeka to Santa Fe. The rails are being laid in record time. Everything is going well. And then, just before sundown one day, the trouble starts. Keep your head down, Mike.
Sure, Mr. Holliday, those cowboys ain't the shots they're made out to be. The way they're shooting,
they're aiming high, Mike, on purpose, trying to scare your men into quitting.
Quitting? We'll quit till we drive the last fight down in Santa Fe.
And then a mysterious fire broke out one night in the supply house.
Call off the men, Mike. No use fighting that fire any longer. The sheds are goner.
But the railroad ties, Mr. Holliday.
I'm afraid there's nothing we can do about them now.
More black cross on them. This is going to set us back for a month or more.
Yes. And we need that much with the government deadline coming closer every week.
And then the rails were torn up almost as fast as they were laid. Mike, tell the operator to get on the keys and raise Kansas City. We need a new batch of rails to repair the section they tore up last night.
But, Mr. Holliday, sir, are you sure that we have the money to cover it?
I don't know, Mike. But one thing I do know, one more setback and we're through. Sit down, Mike.
Mr. Holliday, sir.
I know, Mike. I know what you came to tell me. The men are all quitting.
Well, no, not exactly, sir.
Well, I can't say I can blame them. Can't expect them to work without the certainty of being paid.
Well, no, sir. Tain't as bad as all that. Only about half the hands have quit.
Yeah, you might as well tell them all to put down their tools, Mike.
Good morning.
It looks like Sam Colter wins.
Good morning, darling.
Morning, dear.
Well, what's everyone looking so down in the mouth about?
Sure, no, ma'am. It's only the set of my face. Guess I'd better get back to the men and tell them, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, I know. No, now I know. Money. Heavens, as if that were something to worry about. Look what I've got.
What?
3,000 in cartwheels and gold.
Mary, where did that money come from?
From the men, sir.
Glory.
The first train will be pulling out on the new Santa Fe tracks 2 weeks from today, and my name ain't Michael O'Day.
Oh, Jake, must you toot that whistle?
Oh, just celebrating Mrs. Hardy, ma'am. By God, never thought Jake Carter would be driving the first iron cayuse on your railroad, Mr. Hardy.
Never thought anyone would, by the way it looked for a good while.
When do we let it book, Mr. Hardy?
You know as well as I do that nothing gets started around here without a speech from Mayor Windham.
Tarnation.
How do you like your new saddle, Jake? Guess driving an iron horse is a little more complicated than a stagecoach, huh?
Ma'am, I feel as jittery as a close hobbled horse in fly time.
Don't worry, Jake. Mary and I will be riding in the engine with you on this run.
Mr. Halliday, sir.
Oh,
this is a most memorable occasion, man.
Ready, sir, for your speech?
Sir, I've been ready for weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, this day, April 26, 1869, shall go down in the annals of the city of Topeka as the most memorable, the most treasured record in the great unwritten future that...
Jake!
Oops, sorry, man.
I can see the Santa Fe stretching on and on in all directions. To Galveston, to San Francisco, I even back east to Chicago. I can see the coming tide of immigration flowing along these lines like an ocean wave advance up the side of the power of the
Nation, Mr. Hardy, never thought we'd pull out of Topeka.
Well, it wasn't very nice of you, Jake. You saw the train before Mayor Windham had a chance to finish his speech.
Ma'am, you wouldn't want the first train leaving late, would you? Reckon he never even missed us. Wouldn't surprise me in the least if he was still there in his lungs. Look at there, Mr. Hardy.
What's wrong?
Look what's in front of us across the track there.
A herd of cattle.
Goodness, I didn't know there were so many cows in the whole world.
Yep. Appears to me, Mr. Hardy, they've been herded and bedded down sort of purposeful like.
What do you mean?
See the way they're strung out? Yep, Bar T brand. Coulter's marking all right. Yep, here they come riding up to us. Well, if there's going to be gunplay, I reckon it's might easier shooting from the cab of a locomotive than it is from the seat of a stagecoach.
What do you think they're up to, Jake?
I can't say, Mr. Hardy, but I know Sam Coulter can't be up to no good. Anyway, we'll find out soon enough. Here he comes.
Jake Carter. You sure look mighty pretty inside that tea kettle, Jake.
Get your herd off them tracks, Coulter.
I reckon I just can't, Jake.
Why not, Coulter?
Well, you see, Mr. Railroad Man, my cows are sort of peculiar. They don't understand a mite English. Jake, keep away from your gun, or you'll have a mighty short career nursing that prairie burner.
Mr. Coulter, I hope you're not going to keep that herd on the tracks until they learn the rudiments of English.
Don't bandy words with him, Mary. Jake, stop the locomotive.
I'm warning you, Jake. You hit one of them cows.
What do you expect us to do, Coulter? Wait here until they make up their minds to move?
I reckon if you don't fancy waiting, Mr. Railroad Man, you can back this rattler to Topeka. But I ain't moving that there herd.
Start the engine, Jake.
I reckon that won't be necessary, Mr. Hardy. No, sir.
What are you going to do, Jake?
I'm going to practice on my little tutor, and if I know cows, they'll run and keep running till kingdom comes. Them doggies go.
Horse, come on, they'll run us down.
I won't be forgetting the stick, Carter, or you will, my honor.
Well, Mary, it looks like the cattlemen are beginning to change their ideas about railroads. After 6 months of running our little line, they're getting wise and beginning to ship their cattle by rail.
Yes, I know. Isn't it wonderful?
But according to Jake, there's a reason for their change of mind.
What reason?
It's been this drought. The grass on the range has burned to a crisp. The streams are all dried up on the cattle trail to Abilene.
I see. So they were forced to ship them by rail. What about our friend Sam Coulter?
Coulter? I guess he'd rather see his cattle die than send them over my railroad.
Come on, chouse them up, Cut Plug.
Coulter, what's the use of driving the poor critters any further? They ain't had a lick of water for 2 days. Look at them. They'll never make the market at Abilene.
Chouse them up, I say.
Look here, boss. Why don't you do like I say if you don't?
No, blast you, Cut Plug. I'd sooner see them cows dry up and busting on them on a railroad. I won't have no truck with them blasted prairie burners, I tell you. You'll have to hog tie me first.
That makes 722. That all, Cut Plug?
Reckon that's tally, Mr. Holliday. 722 head. Mm-hmm. Sure glad to see him bedded down in them cattle creeks.
Yeah. And I'm glad the Coulter outfit finally came around. But where's Sam? I don't see him about.
Sam? Well, skin me for a mule, I plumb forgot. We got him hog-tied in the chuck wagon.
Well, Mary, after 6 months of running our little railroad, we're beginning to show a profit. Yes, my dear, Topeka's in for a boom. And the cow business... are you listening, my dear?
Cyrus, that man...
Huh? What man? Stop digging at that desk drawer and tell me... Mary, will you stop playing with that gun for the last time?
You don't need that gun, ma'am.
Coulter.
Yeah, Coulter. Tell your missus to sit down and shoot in our Holliday. I want to have a talk with you.
Mary?
Yes, dear, I'm putting it down.
Well, Coulter, what can I do for you?
I want to know what I'm owing you, Holliday, for shipping my cattle to Abilene. I won't be beholden to no railroad man.
Well, I got your bill here, but I'd much rather you'd pay me off in goodwill.
No, you won't have no more trouble for me, Holliday. I had to be hog-tied first, but I reckon I know when I'm licked, and come the next cattle run, I'll sign a contract right regular-like.
Can we shake on that, Coulter?
Well, never shook hands with one before, but... You know, Holliday, for a railroad man, you ain't such a bad hombre after all. Shake, partner?
Shake, partner. And now, Mary, I think you can give Windy back his gun.
Oh, must I, dear?
Mary?
Yes, darling. But it's such a pretty pearl-handled revolver.
Holliday lived to see his road go over the desert to Santa Fe, up over the mountain passes to Denver, down to the Gulf, east to Chicago, and west to the Pacific. He lived to see his 12 miles of road go to 12,000. His plans were opposed by some who, like Sam Coulter, thought his own interests were threatened. Yet his faith in his enterprise, the kind of faith that built America, not only carried the road through to its destination, but converted those opponents into supporters. So it has been many times in America, and so it'll be many times again, as it must, in a land that is dynamic and still growing. Here's Gain Whitman speaking for DuPont.
The other day, I had some oil put in my car. While the man at the service station was pouring in the oil, I happened to pick up the can and read the label. Gee, I said to myself, this oil manufacturer claims a lot for his product. But then I realized, well, say, these aren't just claims. These are facts, or the oil companies wouldn't print them on the label along with their brands. Listen to some of the things a modern motor oil does. It has a detergent in it, what you and I might call a cleaner that prevents carbon and sludge from dirtying up your engine. The oil you buy today tries to help keep your engine clean. Today's oil must operate under much higher temperatures and pressures than motor oil used to. But today it doesn't break down so quickly because it has been made more stable, stands more heat, and it runs more freely, even when the thermometer gets well down below zero. But perhaps the most striking improvement of all is that chemistry has developed compounds called lubricant assistants. When these are added to oil, this is the thing that seems unusual to me, they actually make it oilier. So I asked myself, there at the gas station, as I looked at the label, how did all this happen? How did this lubricating oil we buy nowadays get to be so much better than the oil my dad used to buy for his car in, say, 1920? There are two answers, and they both begin with the letter C. Chemistry and competition. Years of scientific research in the laboratories of the oil companies and the laboratories of industrial chemical companies like DuPont have made oil better. Why have scientists done all this? Just to give you better oil for your car? I suppose partly because human beings are that way. Always trying to develop and improve things. But mainly because that other C, competition, leads businessmen to give you the best oil you can buy so that you'll continue to be satisfied customers and keep buying their products. The best oil or the best baking powder, the best refrigerator. That's the burr under the blanket of our American business system. Competition. Petroleum additives helping to make modern lubricating oils as good as they are deserve their place on the roster of the DuPont Company's Better Things for Better Living through chemistry. Next week, the DuPont Cavalcade brings you William Holden and Marcia Hunt in Builder of the Sioux. It's the true story of a man who had a wonderful dream and of the woman who stood by him until that dream came true. Charles Harley believed a canal could be built across the Great Lakes. So did Katie Bingham. They fought ignorance, bad weather, sickness, and financial problems. But they won out, and Harvey built the Sioux Canal in 2 years instead of the 10 that Congress set aside for this project. Be sure and listen next Monday at this same time to Builder of the Sioux, starring William Holden and lovely Marcia Hunt on The Cavalcade of America.
The music for tonight's DuPont Cavalcade was composed by Arden Cornwell and conducted by Donald Borey. Our cavalcade play was written by Henry Walsh. In the cast with Ralph Bellamy and Louise Albritton tonight were Ted DeCourcy as Coulter, John Griggs as Windy, Joseph Boland as Pete, Cameron Andrews as Jake, Walter Kinsella as Mike, and Ted Osborne as Cutplug. This is Ted Pearson inviting you to listen next week to William Holden and Marcia Hunt in The Builder of the Sioux on the Cavalcade of America, brought to you of Wilmington, Delaware.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.